Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th of June. This is our last regular podcast for this month. Tomorrow's podcast is our essay edition. That's where I write down some thoughts, explore some ideas, sometimes scripture-based, sometimes just thoughts I have about what's going on in the world or my own life or observations, and I work them out on paper. And then I read it to you. That podcast happens on the last day of every month. You can go back through and pick up the essay edition. I do this for my own challenge, my own discipline to write. And also the written version of that is available at paulwhiteministries.com. You can see the DDP essay editions available there on the homepage. Check that out tomorrow. I hope you'll enjoy it. We will get back on the 1st of July to the 2 Corinthians 12 study. We're going to do it today as well, but we'll jump back in at the 1st of July. And I don't think it's going to take the rest of July. I think that we can cover the rest of chapter 12 and then the 13th chapter, which has got some benediction and stuff at the end of it. And I think we can do it before the month's out. If we do, then I'm probably going to just do some other things to ride out the calendar month. That way we start a new book at the top of the month on August 1. That's kind of how I like to do that. It makes it a little bit easier to tell people when we are doing where we started. Also, if you've noticed on the digital, on your screen when you look at your podcast, we've started posting not only the day of the podcast, the date, but we've started posting what scriptures are covered. That was after much demand from people. I don't know why we didn't do that before. That wasn't my fault. But we do now put the verses that are covered so that you can find it easier. Unfortunately, we only started doing that in the last month. So, but going forward, hopefully that makes things a little easier for you. Today, we are going to talk about the 8th and 9th verses for sure of 2 Corinthians 12. This is in Paul's statement about the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I'm exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. The pleading with the Lord three times seems to be a Hebrew idea about how secure you should be when you take your petition to the Lord. I would consider this just some sort of cultural idea, if not for the fact that Jesus did the same thing in Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus goes a little farther into the garden in verse 39, Garden of Gethsemane, and says, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He comes to the disciples and found them sleeping, asked, "Couldn't you tarry an hour?" 42, again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup can't pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep. Their eyes were heavy. 44, so he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And at this point, Matthew doesn't even bother to tell you the words because he knows you know the words. You've just watched Jesus pray this twice. What we're to assume is that this is not a two-sentence or one-sentence prayer. Jesus doesn't walk over the hill and go, "Hey, Lord, Father, if the cup could pass from me, let it." And then come back over the hill and the disciples are asleep. That'd be one more fast journey into sleep. I wish I could fall asleep that easily. That's not what happens. But he's summing up the prayer. But the point of that is, at least for purposes of understanding Paul, is that Jesus prays it three times. Three distinct moments of prayer. And I'm sure there is a depth to it that rabbinical tradition could tell us. But it does seem to be a recurring theme at points in the Bible of this triad, these three, and why that's important. And so when Paul does it, I don't think it's a mandate. When Paul and Jesus do it, it's not as if God is saying to us, go pray something three times. I know this because Jesus, when he instructs his disciples to pray, he doesn't say, "Now be sure you pray it three times," because if you don't pray it three times, you're not going to get what you want. That's not the case. But there seems to be an assuredness, or that's not the word I'm looking for. There seems to be a persistence in prayer that doesn't come from a place of begging, but a place of assuredness. Begging doesn't fit sonship. Jesus tells the story of the friend who came at midnight and knocked on the door, knocked on the door, knocked on the door. Finally, master of the house gets up and gives him what he wants. But Jesus says, how many of you having a friend? So he's showing you that this would annoy you. Your kids are in bed with you. You would probably do it, but it's not because you love him. It's because you want him to leave you alone. But if a son asks, then he gets what he asks. So Jesus' point there is that you don't have to beat on the door to get what you need. You're not some friend that God's reluctant to help. You're a son. All you have to do is ask. So it goes against sonship to say, you got to beg, you got to beg, you got to ask over and over and over and over again. But it does seem, according to the fact that Jesus prays the same prayer three times in Gethsemane, and Paul pleads with the Lord three times that it might depart from me, it does seem that they saw the persistence of prayer as vital to get an understanding of what you were dealing with. Jesus wants to settle his spirit on the fact that this is the Father's will, is to go to the cross. He doesn't beg to not go. Paul does beg that it depart from him, but he doesn't end up with what he expects. What he ends up with in verse 9, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, we'll deal with what Paul responds to from that in a moment, but Paul's quoting, and your words are even written in red in your Bibles because even the translators realize, hey, this is Jesus speaking to Paul. It's the Lord speaking to Paul. And that amazing phrase, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul came to a double conclusion. He could put up with anything because grace allowed him to. That's number one. And number two, God's glory, God's strength, and God's power comes through in a greater measure in the areas that you are deficient. So when you are strong in an area, it could be attributed to you. When you are weak in an area and you still make it, you still overcome, Paul says the only way is to attribute that to the Lord. And so this is Paul's conclusion. Whatever the thorn in the flesh is, it isn't going away. Because it's not God's will that everything go away that's bothering you. God is not looking for you to live in a perfect environment free of thorns. God is looking for you to trust Him in a thorny environment. And unfortunately, there's a little bit of an undertow in the message of grace that says God's favor wants the best for you, and therefore anything negative, you should just claim favor and believe that's going to be gone. And most people in grace would amen that. Paul would have amened it too, except he realized in practical use it didn't work. That God doesn't always take all of the thorns away. But what God does is display His strength in us as we go through the thorny situations. So don't look for perfect conditions. You have a perfect Savior. And in the midst of imperfect conditions, you are watching His strength. So Paul, here's his conclusion. Therefore, and we got actually two therefores. We'll deal with one today and one in a couple of days. Here's verse 9, therefore. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Remember context. I could boast of my revelations. I could boast of my skills. I could boast of what I've done. And he kind of does. But then he says, you know what? I'm not going to boast about that. I'd rather boast in what's wrong, so that you can see the power of Christ that rests upon me. The early church took it as a badge of honor when bad things happened because they saw bad things happening to Jesus. And they went, well, if it happened to Jesus and it happens to me, I'm in good company. And I don't think we ought to run towards the bad, but maybe we need a little bit of taste of that again, to where when negative happens, we go, it happened to him, it happened to me. I had a minister share with me, I'd had a little rough patch of adversity, and I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I'd like to hear from somebody who's been blessed by our ministry today. And a guy emailed me from Africa. Same day I prayed that. And he said, hey, I just felt led to encourage you. And it was like a 3-sentence email. And I emailed him back immediately and said, thank you. I asked the Lord to send somebody my way to encourage me today. And he responded with, "Wear the criticism as a badge of honor." And man, that encouraged my soul. Maybe it'll encourage yours. Tomorrow, essay edition. See you then. God bless.